Welcome to Zichron Daf Sin Mani, member by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Shabbos, Daf Samach Bey. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Yosef explained that the reason Ula forbids women to wear men's accessories in Rishos of Rabbim on Shabbos and men to wear women's accessories is that Ula holds Nashim Ambifne Atzmanhen. Women are viewed as a nation unto themselves. Abaya challenged this reasoning from a brice that permits a woman who finds tefillin in the field of marketplace on Shabbos to wear one pair at a time and bring them in. Now, since women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin because it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, why is she permitted to put them on? They should be considered a burden to her, and she should be liable to bring a chatas. It must be, therefore, that women are permitted to wear men's accessories in Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara answers that the brice is going according to Reb Meir, who holds that the mitzvah of tefillin is also at night and is also an obligation on Shabbos, which means it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and women are therefore obligated to wear tefillin. Point number two, in a discussion regarding what practices were forbidden since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Abaya clarifies that the Rabbanan decreed, komini de'es be'tanug ve'es be'simcha, anything that involves pleasure, meaning sensual gratification, and also involves joy, anything that does not inspire both emotions, was not prohibited. This explains why indulging in balsam oil, which involves pleasure but not joy, was not prohibited. And point number three, Rabbi Yabo said, some say that it was a Tana who taught in the Braisa, that the three things that bring a person to poverty are urinating before one's bed, treating the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim lightly, and being cursed by one's wife in one's presence. Regarding hand washing, Rav Chisda said he washes hands with full handfuls of water and was given full handfuls of prosperity. And Rava clarifies that the case of a wife cursing is where she's cursing her husband due to the husband having enough money to buy her jewelry, but does not. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Yosef explained that the reason Ula forbids women to wear men's accessories in Rishus of Rabim on Shabbos and men to wear women's accessories is that Ula holds Nashim Ambifne Atzmanhen. Women are viewed as a nation unto themselves. Abai challenges reasoning from a brisa that permits a woman who finds tefillin in the field or marketplace on Shabbos to wear one pair at a time and bring them in. Now, since women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin because it's a mitzvah atzei shezman grum, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, why is she permitted to put them on? They should be considered a burden to her, and she should be liable to bring a chatas. It must be, therefore, that women are permitted to wear men's accessories in Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara answers that the brice is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the mitzvah of tefillin is also at night and is also an obligation on Shabbos, which means it's not a mitzvah zaseh shezman grum, it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and women are therefore obligated to wear tefillin. Point number two, in a discussion regarding what practices were forbidden since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Abai clarifies that the Rabbanan decreed, komidi de'es be'tanug be'es be'simcha, anything that involves pleasure and also involves joy, anything that does not inspire both emotions, was not prohibited. And this explains why indulging in balsam oil, which involves pleasure but not joy, was not prohibited. And point number three, Rabbi Abo said, and some say that Atana taught in Abraisa, that the three things that bring a person to poverty are urinating before one's bed, treating the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim lightly, and being cursed by one's wife in one's presence. Regarding hand washing, Rav Chisda said he washes hands with full handfuls of water and was given full handfuls of prosperity. Rav clarifies that the case of wife cursing is where she's cursing her husband due to the husband having enough money to buy her jewelry, but he doesn't. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Samach Beis is a submarine captain. Okay, here it goes. The submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy after his wife cursed him out for being a cheapskate and he lost a fortune. Once again, in slow motion. The submarine captain, that means we're on Daf, Samach Beis. The submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef explained that the reason Ula forbids women to wear men's accessories in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos and men to wear women's accessories is that Ula holds Nashim Ambifne Atzmanhen. Women are viewed as a nation unto themselves. Abai challenged this reasoning from a brice that permits a woman who finds tefillin in the field or marketplace on Shabbos to wear one pair at a time and bring them in. Now, since women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin because they're a mitzvah zaseh shezman grama, they're a time-bound positive mitzvah, why is she permitted to put them on? They should be considered a burden to her, and she should be liable to bring a chatas. It must be, therefore, that women are permitted to wear men's accessories in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Gemara answers that the brice is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the mitzvah of tefillin is also at night and is also an obligation on Shabbos, which means it's not a mitzvah zaseh shezman grama, it's not a time-bound positive mitzvah, and women are therefore obligated to wear them. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy, which reminds us, in the discussion regarding what practices were forbidden since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Abai clarifies that the Rabban decreed, Kol mini deis beitanu veis beisimcha, anything that involves both pleasure and also involves joy. Anything that does not inspire both emotions was not prohibited. And this explains why indulging in balsam oil, which involves a pleasure but not joy, was not prohibited. So the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos, and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy, after his wife cursed him out for being a cheapskate, and he lost a fortune. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abahu said, and some say the Tana taught in the Braisa, that the three things that bring a person to poverty are urinating before one's bed, treating the mitzvah and tefillas yadayim lightly, and being cursed by one's wife in one's presence. Regarding hand washing, Rav Chisda said he washed his hands with full handfuls of water and was given full handfuls of prosperity. Rava clarifies that the case of a wife cursing is where she's cursing her husband due to the husband having enough money to buy her jewelry, but he doesn't. So once again, the submarine captain demanded that his male and female crew wear tefillin at night and on Shabbos and not show the emotions of pleasure and joy after his wife cursed him out for being a cheapskate and he lost a fortune. All right, so now it's time for our four bar back chazara. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simfer Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that means we're on Daf Nun Ches. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks, which reminds us, our Mishnah Nun Zayin Amun Av state that a woman may not go out into Rishus of Rabbim wearing a kavul. On Daf Nun Zayin Amun Beis, Rabbi Abo identified the word kavul as an ornamental woolen cap. On our Dav, Shmuel disagrees and identifies the kavua as a kavua da'avda, a slave's emblem which is worn around his neck. The Gemara asks that this is a contradiction with another statement of Shmuel, in which he permits a slave to go out on Shabbos with his emblem around his neck. So the Gemara answers that the halachas differ based on who made the emblem. If the slave made the emblem, then Shmuel prohibits him from wearing it, since he might take it off and conceal it from others. This is the case of our Mishnah. But if the master made the emblem, the slave is permitted to wear it because he will not remove it out of fear of his master seeing without it. If the master had sewn it into the slave's cloak, though, Shmuel prohibits this, because if it were to become detached, the slave might fold his cloak and place it over his shoulder to conceal the place where the emblem had been, which would result in the violation of Otsah. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they were handing out purified security bells, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught that we learned that a utensil of metal designed to produce sound becomes susceptible to Mekabel Tumah from the Pasuk, Kol davar sheyavo be'esh taviru be'esh. Any item that has come into the fire, you shall pass through the fire and it will be purified. The superfluous word davar, which teaches us that afil dibur yavo be'esh, even items that produce sound must come into the fire to be purified. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, made his workers wear emblems around their necks after he discovered they're handing out purified security bells to parents to attach to their children's clothes that didn't have clappers. Which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies the difference between bells worn by children and those worn by adults. Bells worn by children are made for the purpose of producing sound, so the parents can know where the child is. Therefore, if they do not have clappers, the bells are useless utensils that cannot be Mekabel Tumah. Bells worn by adults, though, such as slaves, are worn for ornaments, and therefore they can be Mekabel Tumah even if they do not have a clapper. Daf Nun Tes, so the Simfer Nun Tes is on knights. Here goes. The knight in shining armor. Knight in shining armor, that means we're on Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a discussion on Nun Ches Amud Beis regarding why a bell, which was tameh that had its clapper removed, still remains tameh. Abai explained that since the clapper can be easily reattached and doesn't require the work of a craftsman, it retains its tumah status. So on our daf, two more opinions are introduced, and according to the Gemara's conclusion, the opinions are switched. So the final understanding of the Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina holds that the bell retains its tumah status since it's fit to be used to give a drink to a child. He holds if a utensil can still be used for something, it retains its tumah status. Rabbi Yochanan Rava hold that it retains its tumah status because it's still fit to strike against an earthenware pot to make a sound. Boy me'ein malach rishonah. They require that the vessel is still usable for a semblance of its original function. So the knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper, and his distinguished wife, an Irshel Zahav crown. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states that a woman may not go on Shabbos with an Irshel Zahav, a crown ornament engraved with the likeness of Yerushalayim. The Gemara introduces Malchokas Tanaim. Ramir holds that it's a burden and not an ornament, and therefore a woman would be liable chattas for wearing it in Rishus Rabim. The Chamim hold that it was prohibited for her to wear it out of concern that she would take it off to show others, and come to carry it Dalet Amos. Since it's a Durabanan, she would not be liable to Chattas. And Rabbi Eliezer permits a woman to go outside wearing it. He holds that only distinguished women would wear such an ornament, and it was beneath their dignity to take it off to show others. So the knight in shining armor kindly gave his child a drink from a bell without a clapper, and his distinguished wife in earshells a hub crown, when he encountered a tall limping man holding a tiara. Which reminds us, when Rav was told that a tall man came to Narda, limping, and ruled that wearing a kalila, a tiara on Shabbos, is permitted, he was able to deduce that it was Levi, and that Rabbi Afis had passed away, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama became the head of Rabbi's yeshiva. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama was Levi's chavrusa, and when he became head of the academy, Levi left. One of the reasons that Rav knew that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama had not passed away, and that it was the reason that Levi had come to Bavel, was that Rebbe had said before his death that Chanina Bar Chama shall sit at the head of the yeshiva, and the pasuk states, "V'sigzo Omer v'yakam lach," and you will make a plan and it will succeed for you. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama refused to take the position while Rebbe Afis, who was older, was alive, and Rav knew that Rebbe Chanina's leadership would therefore eventually come to fruition. Daf Samach. So the symbol for Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumers for Yantiv, decorated with 24 nails per sandal. So let's review. The husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. Smiley face sticker, that means we're on Daf Samach. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. Which reminds us, the Gemara on Daf Nun Tes, Amud Beis, introduced a contradiction between the Mishnah which inferred a woman would be liable chattas for wearing a signet ring, since it's considered a burden and not an adornment, and a Mishnah in Kevim that identifies this signet ring in a list of women's ornaments that are makabel tuma. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak brings the third resolution to this problem by stating that it's not valid to compare the laws of tuma to those of Shabbos. With respect to tuma, the pasuk states, kli masa, a fashion vessel, and a ring, with or without a seal, is considered a kli. But regarding Shabbos, the concern is carrying an item that is deemed a burden. And since women do not wear signet rings, it's considered a burden and a woman would be liable a chattas. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumas for Yantav. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not go outside on Shabbos wearing a sandal masumar, a wooden sandal whose leather uppers are attached to its sole with nails that protrude through the sole to its underside. The Gemara provides three different versions of a tragic incident where Jews in hiding wearing the shoes thought they were going to be detected by their enemies and subsequently trampled one another, causing much death. Since the incident occurred on a Shabbos, the decree was limited specifically to Shabbos. The Gemara brings a mission from Beitza that states that wearing this type of sandal is also prohibited on Yantav, and explains that since Shabbos and Yantav are days when people gather as a result of Melacha being prohibited, the decree was extended to include Yantav. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who typically applies rabbinic decrees very narrowly, holds that Yantav is included in the decree insomuch that it's like Shabbos except regarding food preparation. So the husband realized his wife wouldn't wear the signet ring, even with the image of a smiley face sticker. So he bought her a fancy pair of sandal masumers for Yantav, decorated with 24 nails per sandal. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, that one's permitted to wear the sandals if the nails were only put in to beautify the sandal and not to strengthen it. Rav says one can beautify the sandal with up to 5 nails for each sandal. Rabbi Chanina says up to 7 nails per sandal. And one version of Rabbi Chiya states that he permits up to 24 nails per sandal. Daf Samachov. So the simon for Samachov is a saw. So here goes. The magician's shocking act featured sawing off. Sawing off, that means we're on Daf Samachov. The magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, which reminds us, a braisa identifies a number of activities where the right takes precedence over the left. A person should put on his right shoe before the left. However, when he takes his shoes off, he should remove his left shoe first. Rashi explains that this is an honor to the right, that the less important one is removed first. A person should wash and anoint his right hand before his left hand. A person should wash his right side before his left side. One who wishes to anoint his whole body should first anoint his head, since it's the milk of all his limbs. So the magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, followed with taking a proven kameya written by a proven expert, which reminds us the Mishnah said that one may not go out with a kameya that was not written by a proven expert, which implies that if it was written by a proven expert, then one may go out with it, even though this particular kameya has not been proven to work. The Gemara brings two braises that clarify what is required to deem a kameya proven to work and what is required to deem the kameya writer a proven expert. A kameya needs to have healed the same illness 3 times to be considered a proven kameya. the writer must have healed at least three different people who have three different sicknesses to attain expert status. So the magician's shocking act featured sawing off his assistant's left foot and then his right, followed with taking a proven kameya written by a proven expert out of a leather pouch and making them reappear right foot before left, which reminds us, the Gemara inquires if a kameya has kedusha, which would prohibit it from being worn in a bathroom, and seeks to bring a proof from a Mishnah which implies that one can wear a proven kameya outside on Shabbos. If the kameya had kedusha, then the rabbi should have prohibited it, since a person might need to go to the bathroom while outside and come to take it off before entering. So the Gemara clarifies on the following daf that the kameya discussed was covered in a leather pouch, and therefore it would not prohibit the kameya from being worn in a bathroom, even if it did have kedusha. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn that women do not wear signet rings? That's on daf Samach. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that right comes before the left? That's on daf Samachov. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn about the Katzot da'avda, slaves wearing emblems? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn about the three things that cause poverty? That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn how to make hard branches, not mukzah, so one can sit on them on Shabbos? That's on daf Nun. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that women are not allowed to wear an ear shel zahav on Shabbos? That's on daf Nun Tes. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Rebbe Meir holds that women wear tefillin? That's on daf Samach Beis. Great. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss putting a pot next to a kira? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Great. Number 9. Which daf do we learn who qualifies as an expert kameya writer? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Good. And finally, number 10. Which daf do we learn that one can put a kli under sparks? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that one does not break the bread, he's not botzeya, before people say amen to his bracha? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that the bracha of a tova meitiv and benching is a derabanan? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. And finally, number 3. Which daf do we have the machlokas regarding how chava was fashioned? That's on daf Samachov. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.